Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Saturday, October 14th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. And I'm actually sitting here with you this morning. Was way too busy studying last night and just didn't get this recorded early. So I'm actually sitting here this morning in the desert with my cup of coffee. And it's 64 degrees outside, a wonderful 64 degrees outside. Unfortunately, it'll be 80 degrees within the next 2 hours and climbing towards 90, which, believe me, is actually wonderful compared to the 105, 106, 110 degree days we had through the summer. So this is honestly spring and fall are kind of my favorite times of year out here. Don't get me wrong. I love living in the desert. I actually prefer to live here than most other places, for a lot of reasons. But yeah, spring and fall where you've got the cooler weather and you can open your windows and AC doesn't have to run and your solar can handle everything your house needs. So you don't have to pay the power company. That always thrills me. But wow, it is a really, really nice morning and I'm sitting here with you with a cup of coffee and we're going to do our Bible reading this morning like we normally do. And I love you and I very much appreciate that you're here sitting with me and we're going to dig into the Word of the Lord. We are going to do our reading for the Word of the Lord. And like I say, most episodes, you know, I really pray that this time in the Word helps to keep you saturated in the Word. I've spoken before of John Bunyan, how they spoke of him, that when, his contemporaries, those that were around his time that knew him and knew of him, they spoke of the fact that if you were to cut him, he would bleed biblene, meaning he would bleed the Bible because he was so saturated in it. Even for the 12 some years he spent in prison, because they kept trying to tell him, don't preach, don't preach. If you don't preach, we'll let you out. And he kept saying, I can't not preach. It's what God has called me to do. So, that's really an example for you and I. We need to be saturated in the Word of God. It is our path. It is our guide. It is the way. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ is the way, but he is the Word. And this Word is what shows us both our salvation and shows us what our walk should look like after we're saved. So we've got to be reading in it every day. We need to be studying it constantly. All of us should be. So I would encourage you, while I'm happy to participate and read this for you, I actually would hope you would actually crack open the scriptures when you're listening to this in the morning, if assuming you're not driving. I don't want you to do this while you're driving if you're listening. But if you're able to be able to have your scriptures open and read along with me as I read. But I would always implore you to do your own reading plans, your own study plans as well. Don't use this as a replacement for the rest of that. You need to be doing that as well. All right. Well, with it being Saturday morning, why don't we go ahead and we're going to dive into the scriptures. Let me move my mouse and put it in the right place. There we go. So we're going to go ahead and open up this morning with the seventh day morning prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the Father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one. May we hearken to thee, the almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee, the light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyments of it, nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility, for vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for October 14th. The text is from Philippians 3:8. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's Paul, and wow, definitely, definitely good scripture there. All right, here we go. You know what? I'm sorry. I need a drink of coffee. I hate to put that gap there. All right, here we go. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with him. No, I must know him myself. I must know him on my own account. It will be an intelligent knowledge. I must know him, not as the visionary dreams of him, but as the Word reveals him. Sorry, I got to stop for a minute again. That's what I'm talking about. As the Word reveals him, and we don't know that unless we stay in the Word. I'm sorry, I will continue. I must know his natures, divine and human. I must know his offices, his attributes, his works, his shame, his glory. I must meditate upon him until I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It will be an affectionate knowledge of him indeed if I know him at all. I must love him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. Our knowledge of him will be a satisfying knowledge. When I know my Savior, my mind will be full to the brim. I shall feel that I have that which my spirit panteth after. This is the bread whereof if a man eat, he shall never hunger. At the same time, it will be an exciting knowledge. The more I know of my beloved, the more I shall want to know. The higher I climb, the loftier will be the summits which invite my eager footsteps. Sorry, I shall want the more as I get the more. Like the miser's treasure, my gold will make me covet more. To conclude, this knowledge of Christ Jesus will be a most happy one. In fact, so elevating that sometimes it will completely bear me up above all trials and doubts and sorrows. And it will, while I enjoy it, make me something more than man that is born of woman who is a few days and full of trouble. For it will fling about me the immortality of the ever-living Savior, and gird me with the golden girdle of his eternal joy. Come, my soul, sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him all this day. There you go. Hang on a second. I need some more coffee. Obviously, my voice has kind of given up here. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, here we go. So our reading for the day. We're going to be Jeremiah 23, verse 21, all the way through Jeremiah 25, 2 Thessalonians 2, Psalm 84, and Proverbs 25, verse 15. And sorry about that. I guess the train's coming through. All right. So, Jeremiah 23, verse 21. Hear the word of the Lord. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have caused my words to be heard by my people, and would have turned them back from their evil way, and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God who is near, declares Yahweh, and not a God far off? Can a man hide himself in hiding places so I do not see him, declares Yahweh? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares Yahweh? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy a lie in my name, saying, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy a lie, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which they recount to one another just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may recount his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares Yahweh? Is not my word like fire, declares Yahweh, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares Yahweh, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares Yahweh, who take their tongues and declare, Yahweh declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied lying dreams, declares Yahweh, and who recounted them and led my people astray by their lying and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them, and I did not command them, and they do not furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares Yahweh. Now when this people or the prophet or a priest asks you, saying, What is the oracle of Yahweh? Then you shall say to them, What oracle? Yahweh declares, I will abandon you. Then as for the prophet or the priest or the people who say, The oracle of Yahweh, I will bring punishment upon that man and his household. Thus will each of you say to his neighbor and to his brother, What has Yahweh answered or what has Yahweh spoken? For you will no longer remember the oracle of Yahweh, because every man's own word will become the oracle, and you have perverted the words of the living God, Yahweh of hosts, our God. Thus you will say to that prophet, What has Yahweh answered you, and what has Yahweh spoken? For if you all say, The oracle of Yahweh, surely thus says Yahweh, because you said this word, The oracle of Yahweh. I have also sent to you, saying, You shall not say, The oracle of Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will surely forget you and abandon you, along with the city which I gave you and your fathers, so that you are out of my presence. I will put an everlasting reproach on you and an everlasting humiliation which will not be forgotten. Jeremiah 24. After Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had taken away into exile Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the officials of Judah with the craftsmen and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon, Yahweh showed me, behold, two baskets of figs set before the temple of Yahweh. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs, and the other basket had very rotten figs, which could not be eaten due to rottenness. Then Yahweh said to me, What do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs very good, and the rotten figs very rotten, which cannot be eaten due to rottenness. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so I will recognize as good the exiles of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will return them to this land, and I will build them up and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am Yahweh, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. But like the rotten figs which cannot be eaten due to rottenness, indeed, thus says Yahweh, so I will give over Zedekiah king of Judah and his officials and the remnant of Jerusalem who remain in this land, and the ones who inhabit the land of Egypt. I will give them over to be a terror and an evil for all the kingdoms of the earth, as a reproach and a proverb, a byword and a curse in all places where I will banish them. I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence upon them, until they come to an end from being upon the land which I gave to them and their fathers. Jeremiah 25. The word then came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years the word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken to you, rising up early and speaking, but you have not listened. And Yahweh has sent to you all his slaves, the prophets, rising up early and sending, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear, saying, Turn now, everyone, from his evil way, and from the evil of your deeds, and live on the ground which Yahweh has given to you, and your fathers forever and ever, and do not walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and do not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will bring no evil against you. Yet you have not listened to me, declares Yahweh, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own evil demise. Therefore thus says Yahweh of hosts, because you have not listened to my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, declares Yahweh, and I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these surrounding nations. And I will devote them to destruction and make them an object of horror and of hissing and an everlasting waste place. Moreover, I will make the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp, to perish from them. This whole land will be a waste place and an object of horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will be, when 70 years are fulfilled, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, declares Yahweh, for their iniquity, even the land of the Chaldeans. And I will make it an everlasting desolation. I will bring upon the land all my words which I have spoken against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings will make slaves of them, even them, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. For thus Yahweh, the God of Israel, says to me, take this cup of the wine of wrath from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. They will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup from the hand of Yahweh, and made all the nations to whom Yahweh sent me drink it, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, and its kings and its princes, to make them a waste place, an object of horror, an object of hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh king of Egypt, his servants, his princes, and all his people, and all the foreign people, all the kings of the land of Uz, all the kings of the land of the Philistines, even Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyre, all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the coastlands which are beyond the sea, and Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all those who cut the corners of their hair, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the foreign people who dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of Media, and all the kings of the north, near and far, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the earth which are upon the face of the ground, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. You shall say to them, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, vomit, fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it will be, if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you will say to them, thus says Yahweh of hosts, you shall surely drink, for behold, I am beginning to bring evil against this city, which is called by my name. But shall you be completely free from punishment? You will not be free from punishment, for I am calling for a sword against all the inhabitants of the earth, declares Yahweh of hosts. Therefore you shall prophesy against them all these words, and you shall say to them, Yahweh will roar from on high, and give forth his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his pasture. He will bellow a shout like those who tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A rumbling has come to the end of the earth, because Yahweh has a contention against the nations. He is entering into judgment with all flesh. As for the wicked, he has given them to the sword, declares Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, evil is going forth from nation to nation, and a great storm is being stirred up from the remotest parts of the earth. Those slain by Yahweh on that day will be from one end of the earth to the other. They will not be lamented, gathered, or buried. They will be like dung on the face of the ground. Wail, you shepherds, and cry out, and roll yourselves in ashes, you masters of the flock, for the day of your slaughter and your scatterings are being fulfilled, and you will fall like a desirable vessel. Refuge will perish from the shepherds and escape from the mighty ones of the flock. Hear the sound of the cry of the shepherds and the wailing of the mighty ones of the flock, for Yahweh is destroying their pasture, and the peaceful pastures are made silent, because of the burning anger of Yahweh. He has forsaken his hiding place like the lion, for their land has become an object of horror, because of the burning desire of the oppressor and because of his burning anger. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken in your mind or be alarmed, whether by a spirit or a word or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it has not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the sanctuary of God, exhibiting himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming, whose coming is in accord with the working of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of unrighteousness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason God sends upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. All right, in Psalm 84. For the choir director, according to the Gittith, of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Yahweh of hosts! My soul has longed and even fainted for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the bird has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she sets her young. At your altars, O Yahweh of hosts, my King and my God, how blessed are those who dwell in your house! They are ever praising you, Selah. How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also wraps it up with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one of them appears before God in Zion. O Yahweh, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. See our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed, for better is a day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would choose to stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh God is a sun and shield. Yahweh gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk blamelessly, O Yahweh of hosts. How blessed is the man who trusts in you. And finally, Proverbs 25, verse 15. When one is slow to anger, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. All right, well, that is our reading for this morning. let's go ahead and look at the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text is from Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world. If a Christian can by possibility be saved while he conforms to this world at any rate, it must be so as by fire. Such a bare salvation is almost as much to be dreaded as desired. Reader, would you wish to leave this world in the darkness of a desponding deathbed and enter heaven as a shipwrecked mariner climbs the rocks of his native country? Then be worldly, be mixed up with Mammonites, and refuse to go without the camp bearing Christ's reproach. But would you have a heaven below as well as a heaven above? Would you comprehend with all saints what are the heights and depths, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge? Would you receive an abundant entrance into the joy of your Lord? Then come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Would you attain the full assurance of faith? You cannot gain it while you commune with sinners. Would you flame with vehement love? Your love will be damped by the drenchings of godless society. You cannot become a great Christian. You may be a babe in grace, but you never can be a perfect man in Christ Jesus while you yield yourself to the worldly maxims and modes of business of men of the world. It is ill for an heir of heaven to be a great friend with the heirs of hell. It has a bad look when a courtier is too intimate with his king's enemies. Even small inconsistencies are dangerous. Little thorns make great blisters, little moths destroy fine garments, and little frivolities and little rogueries will rob religion of a thousand joys. O professor, too little separated from sinners, you know not what you lose by your conformity to the world. It cuts the tendons of your strength and makes you creep where you ought to run. Then for your own comfort's sake and for the sake of your growth in grace, if you be a Christian, be a Christian and be a marked and distinct one. Beautifully said. And please understand, Spurgeon here, I'm sorry, I feel like this needs just a little bit of explanation. Spurgeon here is not speaking of running off into an ivory tower and cloistering yourself away from the world. When he's talking about being separate, he's talking about that you don't walk in the ways of the world, that you don't behave, you don't practice the practices of this world. You don't participate in them. You are not them, that you look distinctly separate. Again, we are called the ecclesia. That's the Greek for it. The set apart ones, the separated ones. We need to look that way. Our Christian walk should make us look extremely different than this world, so much so that it's noticed by the world how different we are from them. And that is what Spurgeon is talking about, because he's talking about, yes, the one that wallows and wallows and wallows in the world, but is still saved. Yeah, they'll come stumbling into glory. But he's like, wouldn't you rather come with fanfare and everything else because you have been so separate that you've been the great, like Bunyan I was talking about, been such a great man of God that you're remembered hundreds of years later, like some of the martyrs in Fox's Book of Martyrs, that even allowed themselves to be, and again, I'm not telling you to go martyr yourself for your faith necessarily, but these were men that were so separate from this world, so distinctly set apart to the point they gave their lives for their faith. That's what Spurgeon is talking about here as being separate. All right. Anyways, well, that is our program for the day. Thank you again for getting up this morning and spending this time with me. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. I hope you have great plans for your weekend. If your plans don't include worshiping with the saints and you're physically able to, find yourself a good solid church and go worship with the saints. That is what's necessary. If you can't, if there's for some reason or other you're not able to physically worship with the saints, please join us. We stream at 10:30 Arizona time, 10:30 a.m. Arizona time. So that's 1:30 a.m. or 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on Sunday for our worship service. You can find us at Vail Valley Baptist Church on Facebook or at VVB Church on Twitter. Or Twixter, or whatever you want to call that thing. So if you're not able to physically worship, please join us for our worship service. I'm sure Pastor Jay has a wonderful, wonderful sermon. I think we're continuing on in the Gospel of Matthew. So again, hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all you do for the glory of God. And let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We're going to close out with the Lord's Day Eve prayer. Let's pray. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved in my going out and my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all successes one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies, but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, again, hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.